Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 450 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her podcast community gratitude from me. So before we begin, just know that our wonderful sponsor for this episode is Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, Vitamins, and they make a brand new lineup just for women called Her Life Stages, and this includes wonderful products for PMS and the menstrual years, perimenopause, that's around the age of 40 all the way up until menopause, around the age of 52, and then postmenopause. Oh my gosh, and they even threw in a little libido product too. Oh boy, learn more by running on over to Solaray.com for Her Life Stages. And this is your first reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We look forward to hearing from you, love to hear from you. Your feedback is just golden to us. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
As many of you know, every 50 episodes, I like to do a solo. And the solo is first a way of being able to reach out to every single one of you in the Her Podcast community and express my heartfelt gratitude for your being part of this community, listening, learning, asking questions, providing feedback. We love it all. Why? Well, because I'm the host. I'm also a doctor. And the Latin derivation of the word doctor is docere, which means teacher. I have been teaching all of my life, whether it's on a podcast or on stage or on giving one of my TED Talks or whatever I have to do when I write my books, my articles that appear in magazines. I love to teach because I want to do a gifting to you of wisdom, wit, knowledge, all kinds of interesting hacks to be able to get through life. So here we are at 450 episodes of Her. That's a lot of talking. And as you know, we've had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guests, you know, including repeat offenders like Chef Abby Gelman, for instance, Dr. Felicia Stoller. Oh my gosh. Dr. Norman Rosenthal, and so many others. I'm just so blessed to have all of these experts, friends, colleagues within my network to be able to share with all of you as well. So here we are, 450th episode. That kind of took my breath away when I actually said it. So where are we? Well, I'm writing my next book. It's all about life lessons. You'll be hearing about it in the future. But, you know, so much of this was born of decades and decades of incredibly rich, blessed living, including some epic fails, including some amazing achievements, and so many people in my life. You know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting. And I have so many stories to tell. People oftentimes ask me questions about how I made it all through this very wonderful life I've been blessed to live. And I continue to do so. And a lot of this, you know, I was thinking about it as I was doing the outline for the book when COVID hit. And during those COVID years, of everything from lockdown to restrictions and what we were able to do and how we lived and all the rest of it. Well, the world stopped. I learned a lot. I think so many of us learned. One of the first things I learned was that, man, I'm telling you, you cannot assume or expect anything in life. You never know when things are going to hit you like that, and they really hit you. So in my mind, I solidified something that I want to impart to all of you. Never, ever be afraid to, on a daily basis, do hard things to navigate hard times. That's what you have to do. That's the price you pay. Because remember, aging is a privilege. We're here to just move this along on our journey, navigating all of these hard things, these challenges. And I like to be able to think about this all the way back to my childhood. You know, when I think about, oh my gosh, you know how I love to say mind, mouth, muscle? Well, I've added another M, and that is more. More people, more connections, more volunteering, more being of service, more joy, more peace, more rest, more compassion. Yeah, we'll be talking about that as well. But, you know, I think about how I started to develop my own little foundation of getting around things in life, doing hard things. And, you know, so interesting, Title IX, which is obviously this extraordinary, wonderful right we as women have to be able to partake in sports activities specific to us as women. My goodness, it had its 50th anniversary, and it made me stop and think for a minute to the years when it didn't exist. I grew up with two older brothers. They were fraternal twins, and wherever they went, I went. We were like little triplets. They were a couple years older than I was, but they took me everywhere. Trust me, when there was a softball game only with boys, you know, when my big brothers showed up, they had no difficulty integrating me into that softball game because there were two of them and they were kind of big guys. And so, you know, I was able to start doing my little tomboy things and getting involved in sports early on. But then there were other challenges. I specifically remember when my brothers went to a boys' club. And the boys' club had an indoor pool. And there were no girls' clubs yet. Boys' clubs actually started way back, oh my goodness gracious, in 1860. Boys and girls' clubs were, the whole club was renamed Boys and Girls' Clubs in 1990. Took a while for the girls to kind of get integrated in there. So when I was growing up, there was no girls' club. So what would happen is they would go to their swim lesson and I would press my nose up against the window of this huge arena where they were swimming and I would watch them intently. And I knew that there was no place for me, but I was absolutely perseverant. I showed up every day and I memorized everything they did. I looked at what they did and deep in my heart, I wish I could be in the water too. And I watched the coach intently as well. And he certainly saw me. And after a while, I got desperate. I just put on my little bathing suit. It was kind of sweet and pathetic. And I would just stand outside, pressing my nose against that glass, staring, until finally one day, honestly, and I never expected this, he relented. And, you know, he probably went against every single rule, whatever. But when all the boys were gone out of the pool, he motioned for me to come inside and I found the door and inside I went and he said, I'll probably lose my job, but you know, I'm getting tired of looking at you up there. And I got in the pool and I just nailed it because I've been watching for so long. It's just that I didn't know what it felt like to have water around me as I did the face float and held on to that little board in the beginning. That was the beginning of my swimming career. I'm now a master swimmer and a triathlete. And I will never, ever forget what he did. There are heroes and heroines who show up in your life. I didn't yell and scream. I didn't bang on the window. I just was perseverant. And that's always kind of been my way. In medical school, another story, in those days in medical school, when I was about ready to start my surgical rotation as a medical student, there were two doors. One said doctors and one said nurses. And that was where you dressed for the OR. And I looked at both of these with confusion. Like, where did I belong? Because apparently all the men were going into the doctors and all the women, you know, were going into the nurses. And I thought, well, I'm not a nurse. I am a doctor, but I can't go in the men's room. So I stood out patiently outside that door of the doctor's room. And I waited for one of my medical student colleagues, who's a guy. And I said, hey, would you do me a favor? Grab a whole bunch of small tops and medium bottoms for me, the scrubs. And they happily did that, handed it to me. And I went into the nurse's locker room and I put them all down. I put them on. These were men's sizes. So I got a small top and a medium bottom. And the women, the nurses, were wearing dresses, which were incredibly uncomfortable and cold. And I just said, I'm wearing a scrub. And they all looked at me and said, can we do that too? And I said, I guess so. So I went into the OR. No one said a word. I was wearing, you know, the big drapes. No one saw a thing. And after that, it became a thing. And they started putting scrubs in there after that. And the women, all the women were dressed in scrubs. I mean, I literally remember the days when they were wearing dresses like these. Oh my gosh, it was so cold in the OR. But you see what I did? I didn't do what I've trademarked this term, BMW, bitch, moan, and whine. You know, it's like, no, this isn't fair. No, what I did was I strategically thought, okay, work within the system. Let's see how far this can go. And that was a perfect example of how it can work. And I've kind of characterized most of my life by doing things like that, working with whatever tools, techniques, anything, tips that I could garner and then just kind of run with it one way or the other. What else have I learned here too? Oh, you know, I'm telling you, to this day, I completely underestimated the impact of what those COVID years did to myself, let alone my family and people close to me. It really was like a 2x4 to my head. And I really felt like it was quite traumatic. But you know, there's something called post-traumatic growth. And that is, no matter what happens to you in life, you can grow from it. You can learn from it, grow from it, run with it, utilize it to be wiser, more knowledgeable, and show an enormous amount of self-compassion. And that's basically what I did. I learned a lot about myself during those COVID years as well. And that is how much I depended upon physical activity. Notice I didn't say the E word, exercise, just physical activity to survive. And even though my gyms were all closed down for a year and a half, I utilized everything I humanly possibly could. I did drop muscle because I didn't have my big machines or anything that I could use, but I used everything I had. So there you do it again. You do hard things to navigate hard times. You just make it work one way or the other. More life lessons, more reflections, you know, as I go through this, it's so interesting. I think of so many of the great thinkers that have influenced me over time. Aldous Huxley was one that I read so much of in high school and continued to after that. He once said, experience is not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. Oh, truer words. Viktor Frankl, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Wow. That one really, really hit me when I first read it years ago, when I read his extraordinary book. And I think about that all the time. You really are quite powerful. You can choose your response to all of these things, which is why I always put in all of my books, please watch out for the BMW, the bitch moan whine that comes out of your mouth. When you look at what's going on in life, you have to be able to really run with it and just take a breath, figure out what the response is, and then just do it. As many of you know, I lost my best friend to the Delta variant of COVID, December 21st of 2021. That was also a life-changing event for me. Many of us lost people, and many of us saw people get quite sick, even themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And it made me once again grateful for good health and wellness, mentally, physically, and spiritually. It really made me drill down on everything I've been practicing for years and refine it even further. It is so important to keep growing, keep learning, keep adding more to that foundation. One of the things that happens with women especially is when I talk about things like this, you know, women oftentimes fall off their own radar screen and take care of everyone else. Please, I am telling you, self is not a four-letter word. Self is not a four-letter word. Take care of yourself. Even in points of grief, when you just want to let everything fall apart, oh my gosh, you know, it is so tough. You know, one of the beautiful bits of poetry that I recall from the very tough times that we all went through is just beautiful by Mary Oliver, who has been on my podcast and is extraordinary. This is an excerpt from Blackwater Woods. You must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. When I'm saying this, I'm not only thinking of Naomi, I look at my magnificently beautiful German shepherds, which some of you may hear every now and then, you know, barking away when I'm doing my podcast. They are always at my feet, keeping me nice and warm and accompanying me no matter where I go, which is why they're called the Velcro breed. One of them is now over 13 and a half years old. You know, I think about that Mary Oliver poem all the time when I look at him, my beloved one, because he's older. What this makes me feel is more mindful about every second of joyfulness that is in my life. Mindful of every second of joyfulness in my life. As I see him, I enjoy his presence and his comfort and his love, which is unconditional. Anyone who could still love me looking at what I look like when I get out of bed in the morning, well, yeah, that's true love. I can only hope that I've been able to love him back at least as much. And so that's true for all of us in our life. When I look at women and women's health and how far we've come and how far we still have to go, one of the things that makes me happy is being able to participate in extraordinary adventures that bring all of this to light. One of them was the documentary that I was featured in, and that basically went live in 2023, which is called Periodical. And this was shot in Los Angeles by an Emmy Award-winning director. This was all about a woman's journey from the beginning of having periods all the way till the end and beyond when she ceases having periods. It was a brilliant idea. Gloria Steinem was in it and so many others. And I was able to be one of the sage physicians, basically looking at the part of life from menopause on, noting that even to this day, menopause is still designated in our code book for reimbursement as a genitourinary disease. All right, you know, we got to put an end to that one. And I see now so many activists standing up and saying, whoa, all right, we need to redefine this entire narrative. We also need to start being more holistic and integrative about a woman's entire life journey. Quit cutting women up. Don't just talk to a young woman and just describe, you know, her menstrual cycles and offer some comfort there. Say, here's what's coming up. You're on a journey, and this journey's going to go on for decades. Here you are at the age of 25, and what's going to be happening at 35, 40? You know, it used to be that women just fell off a cliff at the age of 40. Like, what happened to them? It was called perimenopause, a word that only started emerging fairly recently. We didn't even have a name for it. It was just like, I don't know where she is. And then she resurfaced again at the age of 52. Look, mom, no periods. And then after that, she fell off another cliff. I don't know. She's out there somewhere. And you don't want to break anyone's heart here, but after the age of 52, knowing that you're going to be living on average until your late 80s, that's a whole mess of years, like over 30 years. How are you going to spend those years? What I'm arguing for now is for all of you at all ages, ladies, to start thinking strategically about laying down a foundation for mental, physical, and spiritual strength throughout life. That's why I say get used to doing hard things to be able to navigate hard times. Every day, what's a hard thing? Getting out of bed in the morning, right? Getting out of bed in the morning and then doing what? What's the hard thing you're doing? Well, it might be to get out there and do that run or run on over to the gym or do something in your house or maybe take the time to do your meditation. Here's my meditation story. Of all things, I just had to share it. Amazing. So I was taught a number of years ago by the Transcendental Meditation people how to do TM. And I cobbled, you know, it's what I've always done in life. I cobbled together everything from prayer, which is a fantastic meditation, to the 20 minutes of TM and the mantra, to all kinds of thoughts. I just like to kind of create my own way of doing this. And in March of 2020, Bob Roth, who heads up the David Lynch Foundation for Transcendental Meditation, started doing a global group by Zoom audio, where you had thousands of people all meditating in silence after Bob would do an opening statement about the genius of nature and then end it with some beautiful quotes and poems and thoughts and words. And it became a thing, you know, beginning at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Look, whatever you have to do, do it. I just found that kind of hanging out with a group of thousands of people around the globe was kind of cool. And I got some good vibes from all of that. And sometimes I just sit there and I pray, because prayer, no matter what your religion, no matter what, is a wonderful way to meditate along with anything else you want to do. It's all good. But the reason why I bring this up is because what I see is a whole bunch of people running around on gerbil wheels, not taking the time to do this. And that saddens me. I used to be like that. Busted. Okay. Remember I told you, you know, create your own CV of failures. I failed myself. I wasn't taking the appropriate time to take care of myself. All right, well, consider that one turned around. And I feel so much better, so centered. And for that matter, it actually even shows up in metrics. Check this out. I wear the Aura ring, which I highly recommend you do if you really want to be able to have a small device. You know, I put it on my index finger on my left hand. And look at the numbers that help you understand how well you sleep and also other indicators of how healthy you are, including heart rate variability. What is that? The higher the number, the more adaptable your heart is to stresses in general. And as you age, especially if you're a woman, that heart rate variability really dips. Whoa, it's way down there. So I started hacking the system. Here's a brain hack, girlfriends. When I do my meditation, there's a special little, you know, thing on the app for my Aura ring where I hit it and I say, okay, unguided session, which means a meditation. And then I do my 20 minutes. I have my little chime go off and I look at my numbers. My heart rate can fall, you know, to 51. And my heart rate variability is in triple digits, like around 110 or 20. Amazing when it normally cruises less than that. I can actually affect my own health and well-being by just using my mind. Hey, pretty cool when you think about it. Spirituality counts. So please take time to do that. Many of us also have experienced trauma in our life. I certainly have, and I'm going to be really talking about this in my next book. And I'm a firm believer in post-traumatic growth, meaning that you could take all of this and convert it into life lessons, that you could take it and run with it. You truly can. Please don't be paralyzed by trauma in your life. Obviously, seek help when you need to be able to make sense of it, redefine the narrative, and go on from there. So there's that. And then I'm going to be asking you to please always look ahead. Look ahead and say to yourself, okay, I'm 25. I'm 35, I'm 45. How am I planning for the next 5 years? Don't just think about what's happening today. How am I really trying to do the best I can to lay down a foundation for the best health and well-being I have? So how do you do that? Well, how about going to that mind-mouth-muscle-more place? How about doing that? Mind, mouth, muscle, more. Okay, the mind part I've really kind of been drilling home with. The mouth part, all right, cook is now a four-letter word for so many people. Cook is crazy for so many people. You just throw things in the waiver or you just order out and somebody else cooks for you and God knows what goes into it. Please revert back and dust off those pots and pans, and cook. It's such a soothing, nurturing, comforting thing to do. What a gift to yourself. I highly recommend that everyone check out the Netflix docuseries on the Blue Zones, and that has come out in 2023. The Blue Zones are those places around the world where 100-year-olds tend to hang out. Well, they must know something we don't know. And one of the things that has been looked at and investigated very closely or how they eat. Well, newsflash, and, you know, no shockaroo here, they cook everything, you know, pretty much by hand using natural ingredients. And we could really benefit from by doing a lot more of that. We could also find places that can give us resources, that can give us that kind of cooking and foods. But we have to do the homework first, you know? Do hard things. You got to actually plan, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So that's what I'm talking about here. You know, when it comes to the mouth, as many of you know, I am a huge circadian rhythm person. I like to eat per the circadian rhythm, meaning that you eat during the day and you fast, meaning you don't eat, for a period of anywhere from 12 to 16 hours. 14 hours seems to be a pretty good median place. So if you put it all together, that's 10 hours of eating and 14 hours of not eating. This is especially effective if you stop eating around 7-ish or so. And the reason why is you want to allow the body to be able to regenerate, regroup while you're not eating. We have found, and this is beautiful work done by Sachin Panda at the Salk Institute, Walter Longo at the University of Southern California, and other great scientists. What we found is that it's the most natural way to be able to eat and also decrease belly fat and improve all of your metrics, including blood glucose, hemoglobin A1C, etc. So this is what I've been using for years, and it's kept me very healthy and very, very fit. But, you know, is it easy? It requires planning, and so what? It's a small price to pay to be able to stay fit. When it comes to muscle, it's all about maintaining a level of regularized physical activity. Walk your dog even if you don't have one. That's what I always love to say. It means just get up and walk yourself and then begin to add more to it. Let me tell you why this is important. As you age, you're going to be losing more and more muscle. And as you lose muscle mass, what's really critical here is that you're going to be losing your ability to be physically independent, meaning that if you fall down, don't wait for a front-end loader to show up to help you get up. You have to be able to do that yourself. That's a simple push-up from your knees. Just be strong enough to have that. So when you're younger, you're hitting the gym and you're doing this and that, so you'll look good. Well, okay, I love that. I don't care what the incentive is. But as you start getting older, past 40, it's all about staying fit enough to be independent, to be able to rock and roll, to have the longest health span, which are the total number of years you can live a vibrant and robust life. You want the longest health span. I don't care about lifespan. You know, if you live to be 100 and you're miserable, what's the point? But if you live to be 100 and you're rocking and rolling as best you can relative to your age, hey, sign me up every single time. That's your real goal in life. So please, as every year goes by, try new things. I started pickleball a couple of years ago. Never thought I'd ever do that. I thought that was for old people, only to find out 20-year-olds are like crushing me on the damn court. All right, enough already. And I had so much fun. Here I have a new thing to do. The same thing goes for weight training. You know, for many years, I never picked up a kettlebell. Now I'm like a kettlebell queen. Who knew? You just keep having fun doing things that challenge you. I like all these things. And I keep searching for other ways to be able to have an adventure here, to challenge myself, to never become complacent, and always, always, always stay strong. Strong, 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 to be able to protect yourself, to protect others. This is so important. People forget these things. And there's so many ways to do this. You know, AARP has asked me now, as a member of the Board of Trustees of the American College of Sports Medicine, to contribute pieces for all of their people over the age of 50. So I had my first piece in the August-September issue of their AARP magazine, which is the largest magazine membership readership in the world with 38 million readers. And I had it on posture. That's right. Stand up straight. I saw you. And posture is so important. And just what it means to do that. What do you have to do to be able to achieve that? My next one's coming out in December, in the December magazine, and that's on exercises to be able to optimize bone health. So important to remember that, you know, when you exercise, when you strengthen yourself, you're strengthening muscles and bones together. I call that a double win. Win-win is the way I look at that one. And plenty more to be coming out of all of this too. Now, speaking of the word more, I just said mind, mouth, muscle. Let's go to the more place. If there's one thing you learn from the Blue Zone stories, as well as so much very elegant research that's been published in the last dozen years or so, having more friendships, more connections, more networking, more being with people, that absolutely, hands down, is the essence of life. We were never meant to be isolated. Now, do you have to do hard things to make this happen sometimes? Heck yeah. If you don't happen to have a large, you know, friendly family and all the rest of it, you'll have to go out there and create your own family. Make friends. What's the worst that can happen? Somebody doesn't want to be your friend. Get over it. Do hard things. Move on to the next person, the next opportunity. Smile. Please smile. Go the extra mile. I love to say that. You never know when that smile will be someone else's greatest gift and will open up a door to a friendship. This is so true once we're over the age of 40 and 50, because, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find these friends. Well, plan, strategize, make it happen. Volunteer. Reach out. Reach out. You know, I look forward to doing more work with the girls' clubs out there because, you know, when I tell you about that story when I was a little girl, well, now I'm giving back. I'm saying, okay, you know something? I love the concept of the girls' clubs. What more can I do? How can I mentor? And I mentor at multiple levels, all the way up to the corporate level, where I am a corporate physician dealing with high levels of medicals and devices and technology, and I'm thrilled to be able to add that into my life. How about being of service somewhere, anywhere? And are you doing anything to strategically find joy, peace, and rest in your life? And finally, how about compassion? Girlfriends, compassion goes both ways. I talk to some women and they go, I haven't got a clue as to how to begin with self-compassion. Take your left hand, put it over your heart right now. Take your right hand, put it over your left, and then just feel self-compassion. Just say, yeah, you know something? I'm there for you. I am there for myself. And then the more self-compassion you feel, the easier it is to feel compassion for other people. So I now look at this, you know, fourth M, the more part of it. And I keep adding more and more things to it. You come up with some things too. Come on. All right. And as I'm just sort of riffing away here, having a marvelous time, I want you to keep something else in mind. Doing hard things. I keep saying that. Do hard things to navigate hard times. Well, You know, there's something else to keep in mind, and that is comfort. Sometimes you say, oh, you know, I just have such comfort in doing the same thing all the time, and I feel like I'm fine, and, you know, why reach out? Why do anything else? But comfort is a cage. Be careful. Because comfort is a siren song. It's kind of pleasant, yet deceptive. Its allure constantly tempts us to remain safely ensconced in our own little familiarity. But comfort's beauty conceals a darker side, complacency. Complacency. Oh, my goodness gracious. Complacency. One day, a middleweight champion in the world, Marvin Hagler, remarked, "It's tough to get out of bed to do road work at 5 a.m. when you've been sleeping in silk pajamas." There's that whole issue of, how do we just sort of balance this issue of, you know, of course it's wonderful to feel comfort, but to live in it and think that this is your whole life? No, life without comfort may seem bleak, but nothing dulls the human spirit more than inactive safety. Complacency suffocates. Discomfort is fuel. The most inspiring individuals constantly put themselves in situations beyond their capabilities, driven by opportunity, not security. So she who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. Take the risk. Fight the beast. Right the wrong. The rewards you'll uncover beyond familiar shores are worth any struggle endured. Thrive by consistently stepping past your beautiful comfort prism. So now do you see where I'm coming from? That's one of the reasons why I try to create opportunities to challenge myself more, to become uncomfortable, and to experience that discomfort. You know, when I started triathlon, can you imagine? All right, just jump in the water and go for it. You're getting slapped in the head, you know, with someone else's leg. You know, you worry about drowning, for crying out loud. You're trying to, you know, sight to see where those milestones are to be able to swim around them, navigate, and get to the finish line on the swim. And then you've got the bike. Oh my gosh. You know, you're sweating. You're hoping to God you don't pop a tire and bang into somebody else. There's always something there. We're putting ourselves in discomfort's way. And then, speaking of discomfort, there's the run. Oh boy, there's the run. In so many respects, that's just sort of a way of challenging ourselves. Can we really step up to this challenge? Can we put ourselves in a place of discomfort where we grow? You grow when you're faced with transitions. You grow. So I hope I made my point on that. You know, as I'm thinking about this 450th episode and so grateful to share this with you, I think of so many women who have come to me over the years and said, "Dr. Peake, I have been told so often, you can't do that. No, 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 no. There's naysayers in your life. You can't do that." It's interesting. In my life, I come off kind of strong and everything, and people were just too afraid to tell me something like that. But I said it to myself. I said, "I can do this. I'll find some way. You watch that." Just like when I found out how to get those scrubs into the nurse's locker room. You know, you find a way. You find a way. all of you out there, you got a dream? Do you have some aspirations, some goals, objectives that you want to achieve? Yes, it can be done. You will do hard things. You will persevere. You'll get it done. And it reminds me of one of my most favorite poems by someone who was called the People's Poet way back in 1914. His name is Edgar Guest. And he wrote this great poem that I'm going to be ending things with. And it's called, It Couldn't Be Done. Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face if he worried he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, oh, you'll never do that. At least no one ever has done it. But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the very first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done. And you'll do it. I love it. And it leaves us on such a positive, lovely, laughing, joyful tone as I end this 450th episode of the Her Podcast. I am honored to be your guest host always. And I look forward to so many more extraordinary guests to be able to share their wit and wisdom and knowledge. A lot of laughs, some seriousness in there, and new tips, tools, and techniques for navigating life. And everyone out there, as I end the 450th episode of the Her Podcast, just run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review this episode. I would love to hear from you. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, SolarAe.com. And remember, their brand new products, Her Life Stages, from menstruation through perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and beyond, including libido all the way through. To learn more, go to SolarAe.com. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Please follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter and Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And also remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes, Radio MD, iHeart, Spotify. Good grief, I'm all over the place. Thanks for listening today. It was so special that you were here with me. Please, stay safe and stay well.